Amen. Well, take your Bible, if you would, and turn to the book of Philippians with me, the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. You know, the Bible tells us here in chapter 4 really how to overcome anxiety and fear in this world. You know, there is a lot of fear in our world today. A lot of people are greatly troubled. And the first thing I want to say about that, if they do not know the Lord, if they're not saved, they need to be troubled. They need to be troubled. And I do think the Lord is trying to get folks' attention with all the things that are taking place in our world today. Because this life is temporal. But heaven and hell is forever. That's eternal. This world is just a preparation place for the life to come. If we believe anything about the Bible, we certainly better believe that the Lord Jesus came not to save civilization for mankind, but to save man from civilization. For this world is destined for destruction. In Philippians chapter 4, I want to read a few of these verses here in the first part of this chapter. The Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudes, and I beseech Synthica, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication," verse 6 says, "with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Now we're talking about overcoming anxiety, overcoming fear in this world. You know, I'm thankful that the Lord saved me as a teenage boy, and then some years later called me to preach. And that's been a wonderful privilege for these many years to preach the Bible. And I never have felt like that I've really ever done it much justice. You know, the Bible is like a great treasure. You just keep digging and digging, and there's more treasure to be found. It's absolutely full of wonderful nuggets and truth. It is God's Word, God's very Word. And there's no other place that you can find guidance and find truth and find help in times of need than the Word of God. Especially in these days, we need the truth of God's Word. Amen? Especially in these days. And I believe this wonderful chapter gives us some keys, some little nuggets of truth about how we can have peace and how we could overcome anxiety and fear and worry and dread and all those things that just have a tendency to cause such destruction. You know, we'd probably be shocked and amazed at how many people are driven by pills. How many people get up with pills and go to bed with pills. And I'm not talking about just simply high blood pressure or things like that, but I'm talking about just medication to cope. Just medication to function. And I just don't know that all of that is really of God. Now, I'm not anti-medicine, don't get me wrong. There is that portion that does help. But my friend, the Bible can soothe your soul. The Bible can give you strength. The Bible can help you as you know it and apply it to your life. Now, you think about the Philippian believers. I mean, what did they have back then that they could turn to? You know, I'm sure there were all kinds of different things they could drink, or maybe some potion that they could take, but certainly not the modern, you know, remedies that we call it in our day and time. So God's answer for them is the same answer for us in this generation. It's not changed. That we are to be relying upon Him, trusting Him, looking to Him in these days. Now, these verses talk about overcoming things, overcoming anxiety and overcoming fear, and putting our trust and our confidence in the Lord. Let's just look at these verses this morning. I trust they'll be a help and a blessing. Paul is reminded here in chapter 4 of those that he's had the wonderful privilege of leading to Christ. I think one of the greatest joys of heaven, of course the greatest joy will be the Lord, amen, nothing tops that. But one of the greatest joys of heaven will be those that we've had a privilege of being a part of their salvation. You know, Paul talked about watering, and he'd watered and sowed, but God gave the increase. God uses people to reach people. Don't ever forget that. God uses us as instruments to reach people with the gospel. Now, we can't save anybody. Nobody's saved by man's power or man's will. That's not how we're saved. We're saved by the grace of God. But God wonderfully calls us into the harvest and ask us to be a part of the harvest. It's sort of like when the Lord Jesus appeared to the disciples after the resurrection, and Peter had said, "I go fishing." You say, "Well, that's not a bad idea." Well, they went fishing. It appears like Peter was saying, "I'm just going back to fishing. That's what I used to be, and I'm just going back to it." That's what it appears to be saying. But nevertheless, once again, they toil all night and take nothing. God has a sense of humor. Do you know that? He watches these guys and he says, "Fish, stay away from their nets." And they can't catch nothing. I mean, they toil and toil and toil, and then Jesus comes walking on the seashore. "Hey guys, have you caught anything?" "Nothing." "Well, cast your net on the right side. They're all over there, don't you know?" Well, they gather a bunch of fish. Well, here's the point about that. They say, "Man, that's the Lord. That's Him. That's Him." And so they finally, you know, they're dragging nets and they come to the shore. Well, there they find Jesus by a coal of fire and got fish on the fire already. It's already prepared. It's all right there. And you know what he says? He says, "Now bring the fish you've caught. Bring those two." God doesn't need, here's the point of that whole story. God doesn't need us, but He invites us to be a part of it. Amen? I mean, that's it. He invites us to be a part of the work. You say, "Well, He don't need me." Yeah, you're right. He doesn't. But He wonderfully, graciously says, "Hey, come and be a part of the harvest. Come and be a part of leading people to the Lord. Come and be a part of sowing the seed of the gospel and watering that with your tears and loving people to the cross and telling them that, hey, there's a better way than the bottle. There's a better way than just stoning your brains out. There's a better way of just medicating yourself to death. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Now, even in this text, the Bible says, "Let your moderation be known." There's a ditch on both sides of the road. If you get in the ditch, you're just in the ditch. The Bible says that there's to be some moderation. There's to be some consideration
some understanding of the things that are going on in the world. Well, he says in verse 1, "Therefore, my beloved brother, dearly longed for, my joy and crown." Who's he talking about? He's talking about people that he's had a privilege of being a part of their salvation. Folks that he has shared the gospel with, and they've gloriously, wonderfully got saved. Hey, you're one of the things that'll help guide you in this life. Start investing in the lives of others. Start investing the gospel in the lives of others. You know what'll help your problems and your burdens get a little bit lighter? Start help carrying the burdens and the problems of somebody else. Amen? Start praying and being concerned about the things that other people are going through. And you'll be amazed that your problems get a little bit smaller. I mean, it's an old saying, and you've heard it so many times, but it's so true. You can always find somebody else that's got a little harder go than you do. Amen? You can always find somebody that's got a little bit rougher and a little bit tougher. But hey, we're talking about eternal things. We're talking about eternal things. He said, you're my crown, you're my joy. You have any joy today? Do you have any crowns in heaven that you've invested in the lives of other people? I'm talking about overcoming anxiety. I'm talking about overcoming worry and dread and fear and fret and being overcome by the cares of this life. Hey, start investing in others with the gospel. Start sharing the gospel with others that they might be saved. I love, as he mentions, some fellow workers here in verse 2 and verse 3. Mentions those that have labored with him in the gospel. But then notice the latter part of verse 3 with me. He said, those whose names are in the book of life. Say, preacher, who's he talking about there? He's talking about the saved. He's talking about those that are saved. You remember the disciples, the Lord had empowered them to go out and witness and share the gospel and gave them great power as they went out. Well, obviously, as you read the Bible, the world was full of demons, sort of like it is today. A lot of devils and demons around. But certainly it was that way in the gospel time, because we read so many times about the demons that would appear and those that would work through other people. And the disciples, as they went out and they came back, they said, "Do you believe it? Even the devils were subject unto us." I mean, we were casting out devils. And man, that'd be exciting, wouldn't it? I think I've known a few devils I'd like to cast out. Have you? And you know what the Lord says? He said, don't rejoice so much in that the spirits were subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Woo! Well, man, to have that kind of power, to have that kind of authority, said, well, yeah, that's kind of something, but it don't compare to being saved. It don't compare to having your name written in heaven. Hey, here's a good question this morning. Is your name there? Do you know that your name is written in heaven? Say, preacher, how does that happen? You believe on Christ. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe the gospel, the good news, that Christ came, died for sinners, went to the grave, rose the third day. Place your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved. Really, that's the first step of having peace in this world. That's the first step of overcoming anxiety and fear, is to be saved. Listen, God has ensured us in His Word. He's gave us His Word that we could know that we're saved. We can know that we're saved. K-N-O-W. You know, there's a lot of people that don't know that. There's a world of people out there that say, well, I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. They say that because they don't think so. They're not sure. What could be more miserable than to live with a doubt and a question? If I die, am I going to go to heaven or not? Well, how miserable could that be? That would be miserable. That would be awful. In the Epistle of John, he said, "These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life." You know what that is? That's our deed to heaven. That's our title deed. He said, look at it, read it. Those that have believed upon Christ, this is so that you'll know that you're saved. Not think so, hope so, maybe so, if so. Hope it all works out. If I'm good enough, if I hang on. No, 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 friend. No, no. Only trusting. Amen? Only trusting. Do what the thief on the cross did. The only thing he could do. God put that picture there just to show us real clear of what it means to be saved and what it takes to be saved. That man nailed to that cross could not do one deed. He couldn't do one good deed, not one. And by the way, that's how you're saved. You don't do one good deed. You believe on Christ. That's it. Plus nothing, minus nothing. You place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. You can separate all these different denominations that are out there on that point right there. What do they believe about salvation? They're, well, you got to believe on Jesus, plus you got to do this over here, and plus you got to keep this, and plus you got to hold on, you got to maintain. You know, if you don't hold on, you're going to fall out. Baloney. Baloney. Put your faith in Christ, Christ alone, to be saved. How do you have peace? Number one, know that your name is written in heaven. Know that your name is in the book of life. That you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then, verse 4 says, just rejoice again. Rejoice again. That's what rejoice means. It means to rejoice again. And again. And again. You say, well, I don't have anything to rejoice about. Look what the verse says. Rejoice in the Lord. And guess what? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say, but oh, preacher, this COVID thing. Hey, God knows all about that COVID. He ain't worried a bit. You said, well, we might die. Well, is that so bad? If you're saved. Now, I don't want to suffer. I don't wish for anybody to suffer. But, bro, listen. People are going out of their mind with worry and dread and fear. Now, I don't think we should do stupid stuff. You know, even the Lord Jesus, the devil tempted him, said, why don't you throw yourself off the temple? And he said, we ain't supposed to tempt God like that. In other words, we ain't supposed to step in front of a speeding train. Said, oh, God will take care of me. Don't tempt the Lord like that. That's what he said. Amen? Don't do stupid stuff. I mean, hey, people fill their bodies with all kinds of drugs and all kinds of chemicals, and then they wonder why they're sick. Duh. Amen? Hey, there's moderation to this thing. The Bible says there's moderation to this thing. Absolutely. Rejoice. Listen, verse 4. It said, how do I have peace with God? Your name's got to be in heaven. You've got to be saved. And verse 4 says, to rejoice in the Lord. How much? Always. 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 I'll tell you the greatest example, I think, one of the greatest examples is the man Job. What more could have been done to Job than was done? Unimaginable. Unimaginable. You know, for a parent, I mean, the most precious thing you have is your kids, you know, and your spouse. I mean, my goodness. All of that was gone. All of that. All of his wealth, all of his health, gone. Even his wife, she didn't even support him. Curse God and die. That's the best she could come up with. He's all alone. But is he? He's still trusting the Lord. The Bible said, in all of that happened to Job, he sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In fact, he just worshiped the Lord. I mean, he doesn't have health, he doesn't have wealth, he doesn't have a family anymore. It's all gone, but what's he do? He worships God. I tell you, it shows up in us what it takes to knock us out of worship. And for a lot of people, it don't take much to knock them out of worship. Look around where people used to sit. Look around. They used to be here. Say, where are they at? I don't know. Something got him. Something got him. Something knocked him out. Listen, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know what that means? It means rejoice in Him over and over. Over and over. Over and over. Hey, do you realize if He hadn't saved you, you'd be on your way to hell today? I mean, had God not sustained us, we wouldn't have made it as far as we have today. He could have taken us, I mean, even out of our mother's womb, He could have taken our life. But God gave us life, somewhat health, gave us the opportunity to be saved, the opportunity to live and to love and enjoy His creation. Rejoice in the Lord always. Can you not find something to rejoice in the Lord in? You ever met somebody that's just always gloom doom? I mean, nothing's ever good. I talk about them people, I say, you know, they would gripe if you hung them with a new rope, you know. That's kind of a crude saying, but you get the point. I mean, nothing's ever good. The glass is always half empty. You know, it's just never good enough. It just never... Hey, is God enough? Is Christ not good enough to rejoice in? Is He not worthy enough? Rejoice in the Lord always. You want to overcome some things in your life? I mean, hey, begin to value the Lord. Begin to praise and honor Him as we should. Well, let your moderation be known unto all men. Look at the latter part of verse 5. The Lord is at hand. I believe another way to overcome anxiety and fear is to realize we are living on the edge of eternity. I mean, we're living in the last of the last days. At any moment, Christ could come and rapture His church home. The Lord is at hand. Brothers, let that sink into your heart fresh and anew this morning, that God is close at hand. The Lord is at hand. His coming is nigh. That He's going to return. Besides that, our life is short. So we're living on the edge of eternity. Be reminded that life is short. Life is short. Don't waste it in fear and anxiety. Now look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Now don't take that as we use the word care today. But that word speaks of fear. That speaks of being overwhelmed with anxiety and fear and worry and dread. Be careful for nothing. Did you catch that? It's talking about worry. Well, what if this happens? What if that happens? You ever said that? Ever known anybody that sort of lives on the what ifs? What if that happens? What if this happened? Hey, that might matter if God was dead. But God's not dead. He's very much alive. He's very much in control. I mean, He knows the future. Don't you believe God will give you grace to whatever's maybe coming? Sure He will. He'll give grace sufficient. How in the world can we live in this case of being careful for nothing? Well, that's because verse 6 says, we're casting our cares and our burdens upon Him. Look at verse 6 again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, we've heard many times the statement that says God won't put no more on you than you can bear. I believe He will. And I believe He does. I believe He does. He puts more on us than we could bear that we might turn to Him. Because we are so much accustomed to dealing with things ourselves. We're so much accustomed to bearing our own burdens, our own cares, in the sense, and I'm saying in the sense that we don't go to the Lord with it. But then when it gets to that certain point, what do we do? It's sort of like I've said before about a situation where this group of people had tried this and tried that and tried that to fix the problem, and somebody spoke up and said, well, let's pray about it. And somebody else said, well, has it came to that? Has it came to that? I think God puts us in a place at times that it does come to that. What we should have done in the beginning, finally we're being pressed to a place that we finally do what we should have done in the beginning. And that is to take our needs to the Lord in prayer. To go to Him in prayer. God does put more on us than we could bear, that we might go to Him in prayer. Be careful for nothing. How can I live a life of no anxiety and no fear? Hey, it's all going to come on some of us at some time. We're talking about not being overwhelmed by it. We're talking about not being knocked out by it. Taking our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Amen? Somebody turns to the bottle and says, I'm going to drown my sorrows. Well, the problem is your sorrows can swim. They can swim. They can do the backstroke. Here they come again. Amen? Here they come. Make sure you're saved. Learn to rejoice always. Understand that the Lord is coming at any moment. At any moment He's coming. And then make your life a life of prayer. A life of prayer. Taking your burdens to the Lord. You say, well, how, it's not big enough. It's just too small. It's a small thing. It's too small to take to the Lord. Hey, turn that thing around. Is anything really too big to take to the Lord? No. No. Make your request known unto God. You say, well, doesn't He already know it? But there's something about when we say it unto Him. Parents, you know this about your own kids. You know this about your own kids. You may kind of know what they're thinking about a situation, but when they talk to you about it, there's something different about that. You may already know. Or you may know that they're sorry about something, and you can see that on them, that they're sorry. But when they say to you, Mom and Dad, when they say with a broken heart, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. God says, let your request be made known unto God. That's us talking to Him. That's us communicating with Him. Now look at the reward, and I'll be through here in just a moment. Look at the reward. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You say, does He really have that kind of power? I promise you He does. Can I really trust Him in every situation? I promise you can. Can I overcome some of the greatest tragic, most tragic news I could ever hear? Can I really overcome that through praying and through God giving me peace? Absolutely. Absolutely. We're sometimes amazed when we hear a Christian speak up as they go through a tragedy and we hear them say, well, God just gave me peace. God just gave me the grace. Well, that's what He does. That's what He does. The peace of God. There's not a lot of peace in this world. Not much peace. A lot of hatred. Have you driven on the interstate lately? A lot of rage. A lot of rage. Our son's car broke down the other night, and he was trying to drive back from Little Rock, and he said, Dad, it wouldn't go over 40. It just wouldn't. He said, you've put it to the floor. It would rev up, but it wouldn't go over 40. He said, you would not believe the honks, the stares, the fingers, the mouthing that I got. And we're just trying to get to an exit somewhere. The rage, the anger. So many people are eat up with it. The Bible says the peace of God. What's it do? It passes all understanding. You know what that means? You don't have to understand it. He does. He said, well, if I could figure it out, but I no, no, friend. That's where you trust Him. Where you trust Him. It passes all understanding, the Bible says. The peace of God which passes all understanding. What will it do? It'll keep your hearts. Oh, our hearts, the world, the flesh, and the devil's calling for our hearts. Trying to lure us away from God and lure us into all kinds of sin and other activities. Our hearts have gone different directions. God says, I want you to keep your heart upon Me. You'll keep your hearts. Don't miss that this morning. Keep your hearts. And what else? And your minds. And your minds. To reinforce that, the Bible said, here's some things to think on. Verse 8. You know, sadly, a lot of people have stinking living because they have stinking thinking. That's just the truth. I mean, if your mind is going to wallow in the gutter, you're going to smell like the gutter. You're going to think like the gutter. Put your mind upon some good things. It's really called the doctrine of replacement. Replace that evil, that wicked, that which is wrong and not spiritual. Replace that with something wholesome and good. It may be just simply turning the dial on your radio. It may be flipping the channel to something more wholesome and more decent, or turning it off. Amen? But the Bible says there's some things you need to think on. To think on. Because listen, our actions soon will follow our thoughts. Sin and wrong many times comes in a small little seed planted in the mind. As David stepped on the balcony that day and gazed over across to the other balcony, I assume. There for that quick second, there was the understanding, I don't need to look over there. I need to turn myself around and get away from it. And not think upon what's coming to my mind right now. Because brother, sister, you think upon it too long, it will try to turn into an action and a deed. Absolutely. The Bible says that He will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So we're to think upon that which is true and that which is honest and that which is just, that which is pure, that which is lovely, that which is good, that which is of good report, that which is virtuous, that which is praiseworthy. We're to think on these things. I've got a feeling, had we spent the amount of time that it would take to think upon these things, we probably wouldn't have much time to think about other things. I'm talking about the wrong things. Amen? And then not only to think right, but then to do right. Verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in Me, one little word, two letters, do. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now we first heard about the peace of God, that God would give us His peace. But God says, as you walk and live and listen and do, He said, I'll be with you. The God of peace. You know, the Bible says that we're to draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Think about something. Christian, are you as close to the Lord today as maybe you've been in the past? Has there been a time when you were closer to Him? That's a serious thing to think about. You know, let's put it in more practical terms as far as our life. I would hope that every husband and wife in here today would be able to say, I'm closer to my wife today than ever before. By the way, that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen? Or would you tragically have to say, you know, my wife and I are just not as close as we used to be. We're just not. And that's as bad as that's bad in a marriage when it's that way. But listen, friend, when it becomes that way with the Lord, that's tragic. That's tragic. God promised in those verses, He lays out the steps of having peace and having sanity and having our hearts right. And as we go through those steps in His words, He gets down to the bottom. He said, you know, you do these things. He said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. We know He's within us. We know that. But boy, there's something special when He's upon us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when He's really close. I've been saved long enough to know the difference. I know He's there. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. But see, tragically, we grieve and quench the Spirit. And at times, we don't sense His presence. And at times, we may have just distanced ourselves from Him. And He's been grieved and quenched. And if we was honest, we'd say, you know, I don't sense His presence. He's with me, but I don't sense He's with me. I've sort of walked away. Be reminded that the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. That's God's people. He didn't say goats. He said sheep. The songwriter said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Yeah, we're guilty. I don't know what else the world's going to throw at us. I don't expect it to be good. I don't expect it to be something that's going to, you know, cause us to say, praise the Lord. But yet we can still praise the Lord no matter what the world throws at us. We can still have the peace of God in the midst of turmoil. In the midst of distress, we can still rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God's Word was true for the Philippians. And guess what? It's still true for us today. And let me give you a little nugget right there. Any ministry that preaches a different gospel, a gospel of prosperity and plenty that don't fit with how the Christians lived back then is not the true gospel. The gospel we preach today is the same gospel that should fit with the believers that first received it. Yeah, you preach a prosperity gospel to that early church of Jerusalem. God wants you to be prosperous. God wants you to flourish wealthily. No, no, friend. He may want you to learn how to do without. He may want to take you a pretty low road. But He said, you know what? I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And that's the difference. Let's bow together for prayer. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth of Scripture. And God, I pray You'd help us each today to cast our cares upon You. For You do truly care for us. Father, help us to be a people that doesn't live with just fear and anxiety and worry and dread. But help us to be a people of trust. Lord, that we're trusting You no matter what comes, no matter how dark the hour. Lord, we're trusting You. And we're calling upon You and casting our cares upon You, making our requests known unto You. God, You promised to be with us. We take You at Your word. Bless this time, we pray. In Jesus' name.